Everybody, and welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Jisoo Kyi. Hope you're having a fabulous Tuesday. We've got a lot of helpful information today on the show that's also going to save you money. How to keep those packages that are getting delivered to you safe. Also, why you may need to be thinking about pest control. We're going to be talking to a local exterminator that's going to have some helpful holiday hacks that you may have never thought of. Also, if you're planning to buy a car and trade in, why you might want to do that before it turns 2020. Okay, but right now, let's check in on Wall Street with co-founder of Market Rebellion and Nigerian Family Office, John Nigerian. Hi, John.
Hey, great to be back with you. Thank you.
Fantastic. Okay, so a lot happening right now on Wall Street. Where do you want to start?
Well, there's certainly a lot more optimism this week than last because of the trade deal, because of a little clarity on where the Brits stand with Brexit. And now we've got some industrial production numbers and factory utilization that are very positive, as well as business optimism. So there's an awful lot more positives in the market this week than there were last week at the same time.
But John, we got to ask you, Alan Greenspan just said that inflation is inevitably going to rise as the deficit balloons over $1 trillion.
And he's got to be right. I mean, sooner or later, you'd think we would see that. Any of those of us who have kids in college already know we can point to several areas where there's inflation, but they don't measure those areas for the purpose of what the Fed's mandate is. So because of that, the inflation has been, you know, way under the 2% level that they target. And I think eventually the chairman will be right. But I don't know, and I'm sure he didn't predict when it will happen, that we'll actually see that inflation return.
Fill us in also on the 737 MAX suspension right now. I know everyone has been waiting on this decision and how it's affected Boeing stocks.
Yeah, and many of us, including our Jim Cramer right over here at CNBC, Jim Cramer said, you know, if they can't take Boeing apart and take it down on this, it's hard to believe that they're going to be able to take it down. This being, of course, the cessation of production for this particular jet, because basically they have no place to put them right now. Not only are they expensive to produce and just let them sit there, but they're running out of space to put them. They've been using employee parking lots, even, so we hear, as far as stacking these jets up as they're finished, because nobody's taking delivery of them. Because of the issues about it not being recertified yet.
Well, that
eventually
was,
it will be.
Yeah, that was what was crazy, that even though they were grounded, they were still building. Can you tell us about the ripple effects that it has on suppliers all across the globe?
Sure. Honeywell, one of the big ones, because Honeywell's big in aerospace. United Technologies, which is being absorbed into another company. But there's a whole bunch of the avionics side that really get impacted, along with some of the people that make specialized metals that go into the airplanes. But up until now, as we just discussed, they had still been producing these. So it'll be interesting to see now, after they've said that, hey, we're going to stop production, or at least put it on hold for a while, how it will affect all those various stocks that I mentioned.
Well, John, of course, it's time to try to get those packages delivered on time. And Amazon is blocking several sellers from using FedEx Ground for Prime shipments. And this is part of something called their relentless strategy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, they eventually may have their own Air Force, not just a little one, a big one, for delivery of packages. And because they overwhelm most of the other folks. And at some critical level, I mean, you and I could basically probably plot it out. At some level of package delivery, it would make more sense for you to have your own planes moving packages, as well as the ground that they already have started all over in areas of the country where they can. They have that same-day delivery guarantee and so forth. I think that is something that Amazon is focused on, and the spending for that is incredible. And it's one of the reasons the stock, even though it's up double digits this year, has underperformed the broad market. They've really spent on infrastructure, and that's one of the things that's held them back this year.
Well, thank you so much, John Najarian. We really appreciate you checking in and telling us what's going on Wall Street. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, time now to check in with insurance quotes analyst and reporter Nick DiIulio. Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
Okay, so I know we're thinking about being jolly and happy and eating a lot and spending time with family and friends and opening gifts, but there are some holiday hazards that we should think about, and you're here to remind us, right?
Absolutely. Yep, there's a wide variety of them.
Well, one of the ones that I think everyone has been talking about is package thieves, and you call them porch pirates. You say around 26 million Americans have a package that's stolen around November and December, which is considered prime time for package thefts, right?
Sure. And and when you widen that out to the entire year, it winds up being close to 59.5 million Americans. So it's a very significant problem. And like you said, there's definitely a spike at this time of year. And there are lots of ways, both sort of high tech and very low tech, of trying to prevent this type of thing from happening.
Well, let's start with the low tech. What is something that someone listening can actually do easily?
Sure. One of the things that I always tell people is the first thing that comes to my mind is if you have a good relationship with your neighbors. This might seem very, very simple, but lots of people don't even think about this. If you've got a good relationship with your neighbors and you know that they will be around to grab a package off of your porch or even have your packages delivered to their house, if you know they're going to be home and around when you're not, that is just a very sort of common sense, easy, low-tech solution to this, rather than having a bunch of boxes piled up on your porch ripe for theft.
See, another reason you should just go over and introduce yourself, maybe bring a plate of cookies or a pie.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I'm fortunate. We have very good relationships with our neighbors, and it's invaluable in many ways, not just in this way.
But what if you have really grumpy neighbors, or you live in a giant building where, I don't know, you just don't know anyone?
Sure. Yeah. There are a couple of options that you can tap into. One is there are several different companies out there that offer lock boxes that have unique access codes that the delivery person, only the delivery person knows and that you know, and they drop the items into that box when you're not home. And then you can unlock it when you get back. And then there's also other services like Amazon's Key service, which is you get a notification when a package is arriving at your house. You remotely open your front door and monitor the transaction in real time on video on your phone, and you can see the delivery person drop your bag, deliver your stuff into your house, close the door, and lock it behind them.
I've heard a lot of discussion about this one because it's like letting a stranger into your house, but they're on video.
Yeah, they are, right. You monitor it the entire time. There are definitely, there's definitely still some hesitancy among certain people, even with the fact that you monitor it in real time on your phone. The idea of letting a stranger into your house in the middle of the day when you're not there still strikes some people as a little bit uncomfortable, but I think that will diminish too over time.
And we did hear a couple people mention earlier in the previous show on John Williams' show, they were talking about this, getting packages delivered to work, which I think it depends on who your employer is, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Who's your employer? What line of work are you in? Is it going to be disruptive to have packages delivered to your place of business? That would definitely be something that you would want to clear with your employer, and to also think through on your own, like just sort of common sense, is this going to be disruptive to my work or other people's work? But it certainly is an option. If it works, absolutely. Have your stuff delivered to where you're going to actually be.
Okay, Nick. Oh, Christmas tree. They're so gorgeous, but they can be a bit dangerous, too, which we forget about. What are some of the hidden dangers of having a brightly lit Christmas tree in your house?
Yeah, it's really kind of a confluence of risks around this time of year, we put essentially a dead tree in our living room. It's very strange when you think about it, but we do this, and so you've got this highly combustible plant taking up living room space.
It's and then like you fire combine kindling.
That. Oh, sure, right. And when you combine that with extra electrical, like you're running lights in the house, lights on the tree, other types of decorations, you're running more electrical than you normally do. You may be lighting more candles than you do at other times of the year. Lots of people burn, scented candles or just atmospheric candles. And you have sort of all of these ingredients for increased fire risk. And I forgot, too, cooking as well, like around the holidays.
Oh, yes.
Kitchens, can get pretty warm and more cooking is taking place than usual.
Usually something burning in someone's kitchen around the holidays.
Right.
Along with those dangers, you've got to think about the bad weather, which, of course, we have a lot of that in the Chicago area, including slipping and falling on ice, as well as it's more dangerous to drive. So you're saying these are all reasons why you should maybe double check your insurance coverage, right?
Absolutely. I encourage people to revisit their policy at least once a year. Because life circumstances change, people buy insurance and it's sort of just a set it and forget it kind of thing. They buy their home, they buy their homeowner policy, they buy their auto policy, and then they just never think about it again until they need it, of course. But this is the perfect time of year to just reevaluate your home coverage, your auto coverage, make sure that you're adequately insured. Not only, for this time of year, but just in general, are these policies still what they need to be to protect you as much as you need them to?
Well, that's definitely not something you're thinking about, especially during the holidays, because it's so hectic. But then, of course, being so busy tends to make situations more accident prone.
Oh, right. Yeah. When it comes to, auto accidents, for instance, again, you have this sort of perfect storm of bad weather in many parts of the country, more travel, right? So increased volume, and then the sort of harried emotional state that people can find themselves in this time of year, and they're in a rush, they're feeling pressed for time, and so they make risky choices, and there's bad weather, and all of it just really contributes to why it's riskier this time of year for sure.
And you're saying that around 42.9 million have experienced a fire from cooking, 13.2 mm-hmm. from fires from candles, 13.2 from overpacked electrical outlets, almost 10 million from fireplace malfunctions, which I didn't even think about fireplaces being lit as well,
right.
And almost 7 million from a Christmas tree. So these are definitely things to think about.
Absolutely, yeah, and just to be mindful, we all want to enjoy this time of year, and we need to make sure that we're doing it safely and with some sense of measured preparedness.
Well, I hope you don't feel like you've been a little bit of a Grinch. You haven't done any bah humbug. I think this is all positive information that we all need to know. So really appreciate you being with us. Nick DiUlio from Insurance Quotes. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And happy holidays. Chisuki here with a Wintrust to Business Lunch, and I never thought I would be so excited to talk about an extermination business, but it is a local business, and Robbie Smith, Chief Executive Officer of RB Pest Solutions, is here, and she's born and raised a Southsider. She has two master's degrees. She was a college professor, a professional in the IT industry, but she decided that she was going to give all of that up and carry on her father's legacy. And he was an exterminator. Robbie, why did you feel the need to do this?
You know what? Because it was just near and dear to my heart. And also just in the community that I live in, Chicago is just full of pests. And so I just thought it would be an amazing trade to go into and carry on my father's legacy at the same time.
Well, in the holiday season, this is the last thing from my mind. So when my producer Jasmine told me about this, I thought, what? What does that have to do with the holidays? But it really does.
It does.
And you want to bring to the forefront a couple of holiday hacks that you think people should remember while they're decorating and getting ready for travelers to come in from, you know, out of town guests coming into their home. Yes. So let's start with the first one.
So the first one is inspect before you pull out those Christmas trees, guys, that's been stuck away for the past 11 months. Actually inspect the tree, right?
That's so true, because if you think about it, you put the decorations up in a cardboard box. They end up in a basement, a dank basement, or, you know, in the attic.
Yes.
You don't think about them, look at them. No. The lights are all tangled up.
No.
They've just been stuffed inside boxes.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
And so what should you be looking for?
So you should actually have a flashlight. And also, you just want to inspect for little spots, you know, little brown spots or things like that. Any mites that you see, you know, you want to shake it off really, really, really good on the outside of the house before you bring it inside.
So these are the decorations that you keep year round. Now, what about if you're going out and cutting down a fresh tree, bringing that in, or fresh wreaths or fresh, you know, holly, flora that you're decorating your house with?
Yes, yes. So with those actual trees, you also want to shake those off and inspect, kind of leave in the garage or outside for a minute or two. And then you can also spray, take a couple drops of natural oil, put it in water, and you can mist the tree just slightly. You know, you don't want to use insecticide or anything on your live tree.
Got it. Okay. And then, of course, you say you got to think about all the people that are traveling to make it to your house for the holidays.
Yes.
Do you end up hosting?
I host all the time now. Yes. So it's just very important that that front door, the closet there, make sure that those coats go inside of that closet. Don't go past that door. So say, hi, can I help you put their coats in that front closet?
And why is that?
Because, you know what? We travel so much. You know, insects such as bed bugs and many other insects are hitchhikers. So you want to make sure that you have a designated place for your outside clothing.
And you're not saying your family and friends have this. It's just that they might be picking them up on planes, trains, automobiles.
Yes. Yes. So you don't know whether you have them or not. So just to be on the safe side, just, you know, put them in the exterior, you know, the closet, and just keep them there. And on their way out the door, they can grab their outer clothes and walk back out the door.
Okay, so Robbie, why am I picturing coming over to your house for the holidays would be like having a decontamination? You have to wear a hazmat suit before you go into your home.
I try not to have people so paranoid after they speak with me, but these are just things, just little tips that you can incorporate in your cleaning, you know, because sometimes people come over your house, they'll put their coat on your couch.
Gotcha.
Right.
I see. And you're saying if you contain it to the closet, the very front closet, can exterminate that closet easily.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Okay.
And no harm, no foul. No one knows that you're actually doing that. Just you. It's your little secret.
Do people have to pass a 10-point inspection before you allow them to spend the night in your guest room?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I just inspect mattresses before and just after. You know, just a simple.
You really do.
Yeah, I really, really
and
do.
And how do you inspect a mattress? Because bed bugs are very tiny.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what you do is you just take off your actual sheets and you just look in the seams and the corners of your mattress. And if you see any dark spotting, such as fecal spotting, then that's just an indication that you probably want to take it a step further.
What about if you're traveling? And we've heard stories of really finer boutique, nice hotels having bed bugs. What are some of the things people can do to protect themselves as they're traveling for the holidays?
So actually, you inspect that mattress as well, to be honest with you. You just go along the perimeter of the mattress, make sure there's not any dark spotting. Do not put your luggage on the floor. That is a no-no. And we do that all the time, right?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just make sure that you keep everything countertop-wise, you know?
Do you recommend bringing your own mattress cover?
No. Now, what you can do is if you can go to the local store, get some 91% alcohol, and you can just spritz the mattress a little bit if you're not going to be in the hotel for a couple days.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the next hack that you're going to tell us about?
So in regards to food with pests, we want to make sure that with food, you know, many people go into their drawers and the flour, the cornmeal, they just roll it up and put it in the cabinets. Put those in containers. It's key, you know, just to make sure that all your insects go into containers. That helps out a lot.
Absolutely. So all of those dry goods, don't just leave them out. Put them in containers. Keep them, make sure that they're safe from any type of insects or inviting insects in, because it's cold right now. So I imagine that every living creature that's outside wants to be inside.
Absolutely. And so they come into the home. And so if you have food at the lower countertops, then it's almost like it's easy access. You want to put them at the top of your countertops and you want them in containers so nothing gets in and nothing comes out.
So over 40 years of extermination experience in your family.
Yes.
And of course, now you're taking your business to the next level.
Yes.
Is this something that listeners need to think about? Should they check in with their exterminator once a year, or what do you recommend?
Every season, just like maintenance on your car or oil changes, every season you need to actually have a pest control visit to come, because different seasons bring different pests.
And if you do get an infestation, that can be super costly. So it's better to catch it ahead of time.
You know what? Time is of the essence in pest control. Do not let it get to a point where it's infested. Infested means more money out of your pocket.
Okay. You're in the Chatham neighborhood, but you do provide services all over the city.
Everywhere. Yes.
In the suburbs as well.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay. And where can people find out more information about you?
We are located 8243 South Cottage Grove in Chatham. We have a retail store attached to our actual pest control company, so you can come in, buy products as well. Find us on www.rbpestsolutions.com.
Well, thank you so much, Robbie Smith,
thank
for being
you.
Here.
It was
I know
pleasure.
No one's going to bring any critters into your home this
no,
holiday season.
Not at all.
Happy holidays. Okay, are you thinking about buying a new car, and are you thinking about trading in the car you have currently in order to do so? Well, Bill Haggerty, chairman of Chicago Auto Trade Association, says that you better not wait till 2020. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And why is it that folks shouldn't wait until the new year for that car purchase if they're thinking about trading in the car they have now?
Well, there's been a tax change in the state of Illinois starting January 1st, and the tax credit on a trade-in is going to be reduced on anything over $10,000, and it's just going to be limited to that amount. So anyone that's trading a car valued over $10,000, for instance, a $20,000 trade, they're only going to get the tax savings on the first $10,000. So in essence, the prices, the consumer is going to be charged a little bit more next year if they have a nice trade-in.
Now, Bill, do most people, when they buy a car, do they tend to trade a car in?
I can only probably speak for my our dealerships, and we get about 35 to 40% of the folks have trade-ins.
Got it. Okay, I would assume that a lot of people would. Also, right now, does the state collect any sales tax on trade-in values?
They do not. So if you're trading in a vehicle, simple math, if you're buying a car for $40,000 and trading in a car for $20,000, you only pay tax on the difference of $20,000. So they will collect tax on, $20,000 on that purchase.
Now, do you think that the word is getting out to people that are thinking about doing this?
I do. I think there's been, I know there's billboards around town. I've seen them. I know there's a couple car commercials on the radio. I hear them. And we have consumers coming in now and saying they're trading in the car early because they want to get their full tax credit. So the word's getting out there. I'm just hoping that it increases business for us between now and the end of the year so that people take advantage of it.
Now, will this new sales tax be hard on dealers in 2020?
You know, it might be hard on the dealers, but truly it's harder on the consumer. They're the ones who are, their taxes are being increased, and money's important, obviously. And if their taxes are being increased, they might, it might hurt the dealer in a sense that they might delay their purchase, or they might decide, they're not going to trade in the car. So the dealers do like the trade-ins. That's how we fill our used car lots. So it will have an effect on both parties.
Now, you do say that January tends to be a slow month for dealers in general, though, right?
It is in Chicago, and we can almost put it, a lot of it's just based on the weather. It's we're creatures of habit, and if you don't have to go out in January, a lot of times you don't want to in Chicago.
So why is this change in sales tax happening?
Well, the state, the governor needed capital for the state. And we understand that as dealers, you have to pay for the roads, you have to pay for bridges, you have to do all that. But the dealers, and with our dealer association, our legislators, we thought we had come up with a solution to try to raise the funds. But at the last minute, they decided to raise the funds through this tax credit.
My goodness. And you said buyers currently, right now, before 2020, this year, currently get a tax credit for their old car's value, and they're only taxed on the differences in value between their trade-in and the new car versus the new sales tax that will go into effect in 2020 for anything worth more than $10,000, right?
Correct. Correct.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, Bill, what else do we need to think about when we're thinking about a car purchase?
Well, I always say to, you know, be comfortable with the car you're buying. And you don't really want to stretch your budget too much. If you go in with the idea that you want to spend $350 a month, I really don't think that you should walk out paying $550 a month because you got talked into something or you know, for some other reason. Comfortability and you know, you have to like the vehicle. There's a lot that goes into it. But I just think that people need to stay within their budget most of the time.
Now, Bill, do you think that this new sales tax will increase the amount of leasing that people will end up doing?
Possibly. Taxes are a little different on a lease and tax and on leases, excuse me. The payment, if it's incentivized properly, the lease payment is a less expensive payment, and you can buy a new car for less money. And again, that's... budgets is a big part of a car purchase.
What are some of the differences? Why should maybe somebody lease versus deciding to purchase a vehicle?
There's a few. One of them that comes to mind is you've got new technology the whole time. You're under warranty for the purchase. You're under warranty for the ownership of the vehicle. Most leases are 3 years or 39 months. So you're not having to worry about if something breaks that you're paying for it. You've got the newest technology. Getting a new car every 3 years. And another thing on a lease, you're only paying tax on the payment. Therefore, you're not paying as much tax on the overall purchase, so or on the overall payment, and therefore you're paying a little bit less.
I'm curious about this. I don't know if you'll know the answer, but just in your own personal experience and your coworkers, has the effect of all of the ride shares, all the Lyfting and Ubering that everybody is doing, has that affected how many people have come in to buy cars at all?
I can't say that we've seen it. Like you said, I don't know the exact stats, but you know, those folks, I guess the Uber drivers and Lyft drivers, they're buying the vehicles, so they need them. They need to get those serviced much more often. They're driving so many miles in the car, they have to change the oil, things are need maintenance, things of that sort. We don't have at our dealership, we only have a couple of vehicles that I would consider Uber or Lyft type, rideshare type cars.
Right.
So we're not seeing, I can't really put a finger on it and say that we're seeing a big plus or minus on that.
Well, Bill, you're here talking about the new tax, the sales tax that the state of Illinois will collect on trade-in value of cars worth more than $10,000. Do you tend to find that a lot of cars that are traded in, is that a normal sum? Do most cars come in and have a trade-in value of $10,000 or more?
So we are domestic brands. And I'd say about half of our that's not correct. Probably 40%, we try to do a little study internally. About 40% of our cars are over that $10,000 value. But again, you know, you go to some higher priced vehicles, the Mercedes of the world, the Audis, some of those higher end. A lot of those vehicles are going to be over $10,000, the Cadillacs of the world, and that's going to really have an effect on those brands.
Okay, Bill, so I have about a minute left. Can you tell me and the listeners the best way to haggle the best price from your car sales guy when we go in to try to trade in our car and buy one?
A trade secret, huh?
Yes. What do you want to hear from the consumer? What can we do? I want to know that I get the very best deal.
So that's a tough question. The easiest way. So I would have information. I would know what you want to buy. Know the type of vehicle you want. Do a little shopping online. Just get an idea of if you're looking for that Toyota Camry, you can certainly go online and get an idea of what they are selling for in the area. And then maybe go into your local dealer and say, hey, here's what the research I've done. I want to buy it from you. You're local. And I use the words treat me fair. As a consumer, treat me fair. The dealer needs to make a living doing this, and you want them around when you want to bring that car in for service. Wow. So if we're fair both ways, it's not that hard to buy a car. Some people, I think, make it a little more difficult. Some people enjoy the sport of negotiating, and that makes it.
Well, Bill Haggerty, thank you so much. You're the chairman of Chicago Auto Trade Association. You've been more than fair to us, and you've been a very good sport answering that very last question. So happy holidays, and thank you so much.